This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. It is Wednesday, time for Middays with Mark, Congressman Mark Pocan, co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, brilliantly representing the state of Wisconsin, actually the second district of Wisconsin. Pocan.house.gov is his website. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. Congressman, welcome back.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
So great having you with us. So we had a hell of a race in Alabama last night. Forgive my French. And the Republican tax plan is rolling along. And tomorrow is the vote on net neutrality. It's not like this is a low news event week here.
Yeah, and then to throw in, you could have a government shutdown by next Friday, and you got a lot of work, a lot of things going on.
So you want to take those things one at a time? I'd love to get your thoughts on them. I'm sure we'll have calls on them. By the way, I should add, it's our Middays with Mark hour. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls throughout the hour. Our number 202-808-9925 if you'd like to ask Congressman Pocan a question. So your thoughts on these issues, sir?
Yeah, well, I mean, Doug Jones, I mean, I'm very happy to see. We saw some of this in Virginia. We're seeing this here. The Trump magic is not so magical, and it seems to have some detrimental effects. I mean, granted, Roy Moore was a flawed candidate at many levels, and Doug Jones was a good candidate at many levels. But I think what we saw in turnout in Alabama in Republican areas, it was, 15 up to, I think, 20 points off in some areas, because they're just not happy with either Roy Moore or where the Republicans are on the issues they're doing right now. And we saw tremendous turnout on behalf of the Democrats. So people are energized to change what's happening right now in America, and especially African-American vote was as high as turnout was for Barack Obama. So a lot of really good things that came out of there, and I'm very happy that the Senate now won less vote after the first of the year. That they'll have that, now just you need one or two people on the Republicans in the Senate to not be for their terrible agenda, and we can stop things happening. So that's very positive.
Yeah.
I think looking at net neutrality tomorrow, we're very concerned what they're going to do. I can tell you I've had over 4,000 contacts in my office against what they're about to do, which is open it up to big business interests so they can throttle speeds and charge more for big business to use it versus small business and individuals. And I've had zero for their plan. So this is something that if they do, it's strictly a giveaway to the big telecom industry and not done for any other reason. So there's a lot of legislative solutions that are going to be introduced if they do make the wrong decision, which I think we're still assuming they could do tomorrow. And then we're going to have to keep people activated on that, although I can tell you people are really active on that issue in my district.
So just get this straight, yeah. if I may interrupt you. You
sure.
Got 4,000 citizens, taxpayers, constituents who contacted your office about net neutrality, and 100% of them said, keep net neutrality, don't give this thing away to the giant ISP corporations?
A giant special interest issue, right? I mean, if you ask people if they like puppies, there's going to be some small percent of people who don't like puppies.
Right.
This thing is, I want to say it's like 4,600 or something like that against, and it was zero the last time I asked.
10% of Americans think the Earth is flat. 100%
right.
Want net neutrality? That's amazing.
Yeah. No, this is nothing. But and to be perfectly honest, some of these big telecommunication companies are calling my office trying to say, oh, don't worry, we're never going to throttle the speed. We're not going to do that. Well, I don't know why they're saying that. And then, of course, I watch their ads, and they say that. But the only thing they say at the end is, we promise to be transparent in what we do. So
right.
They'll tell you when they're going to make you pay more.
Well, they're already throttling your speed. They're doing it on the cell phone plans,
yeah.
Where you exceed your number of gigabytes, and all of a sudden, sudden you're running at dial-up speeds.
My provider, I live in a rural area, and we have huge issues with broadband in rural areas in America, and their new plan that has unlimited amounts of data, but after you use 22 gigs, which is not that much, they put you down to less than 1 Mbps, which is like going back decades in service. So, this is a huge, wet, sloppy kiss giveaway to telecom if they do this tomorrow. And hopefully, because people are so against this, maybe we can find a legislative fix on it. So I'm always an optimist, and this is one where, just based on the volume of people reaching out to us.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take, whether it's done now or whether it's done if and when Democrats recapture the House, Senate, and White House.
Exactly.
So I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You were moving on to your third topic.
No. I was just going through the four things that we were talking about. One was a tax bill. I still think, in fact, more than ever, I think they're going to get a tax bill done because now that they've lost the Alabama seat, they don't want to wait till January because that gives them less room for slippage by Susan Collins or others who might develop a backbone.
What's the deal on Mitch McConnell refusing to swear in Doug Jones until after the vote?
And they're going to slow walk it in Alabama, I think, anyway, to figure out the election. So ultimately, he won't have to personally do something to delay it. I think Alabama, the Secretary of State, and others will delay it, even if they decide to pay for a recount or something. So they're going to get that part done, but they know in January they've got one less vote. So I think they're going to push this. The thing is, it's still just the same rotten bill. And in fact, yesterday there was, I think, the most ridiculous tweet I have ever seen from Paul Ryan, and trust me, that is a very high bar. Was the night before Taxmas poem? I don't know if you saw it, Tom.
No, I didn't.
Oh, take a look at it. Just don't eat something right beforehand because it's hard to hold it in.
Okay.
It is so utterly ridiculous about what the bill is and all the process and hearings they had. And, it's this Orwellian world we're living in where they like rewrite everything. Bottom line is, this is a bill that, especially for a guy from Wisconsin like Paul Ryan is and I am, no one but the absolute ultra uber rich people in the state are going to benefit from this. And, this is for the Trump family, for the Trump cabinet, for people who go to Mar-a-Lago and the top 1%. And it's just disgusting that they're trying to somehow still spin this as a middle-class tax cut. But I really do think they're going to do everything they can to get it done because they know that they're losing a vote in January. So this is, again, something we can change in the future, but we got to really remember who they're advocating for. It's not any of their constituents. It's their donors. It's the donor class is all they care about. And then finally, and I'm sure we'll have more of these conversations as the hour goes on, the 22nd is potential shutdown. They're not really working on that much because they're still working on the tax bill, and I don't know how they're going to get to that. The problem is, they're in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House. They should be able to move something. The difficulty they're having, at least in the House, is you've got the Tea Party, you've got the defense hawks who want to make sure defense spending is done, and rightfully so. We could still block some things in the Senate because of the 60-vote rule, but they can't even get it out of the Republican side to figure out what to do. So that's going to be interesting, whether or not they just do another few-week punt, which is what they were talking about doing into January. I don't know where they'll be on that. But, again, it just shows how pathetic this Republican-led Congress has been, that they can't even do the 101 of their jobs, keeping government open, but they're making all priorities on the tax bill rather than passing CHIP, health care for kids, rather than getting health care money to community centers, rather than extending the Perkins Loans program that ran out on September 30th. All they care about is taking care of their rich donors and making them even richer so that they'll get a few crumbs extra for their campaign costs.
I have a new meme for this that I'm trying to make go viral. Morbidly rich. We have a problem with the morbidly rich in the United
exactly,
States.
Exactly, Tom. You've said it perfectly.
And that morbidity, is metastasizing. Anyhow, we'll be back with Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls. Our telephone number, 202-808-9925. Give us a shout. Congressman Pocan will be here with us for the hour taking your calls. More of Congressman Pocan in just a moment. You can reach it, by the way, his website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep, R-E-P, Mark, M-A-R-K, Pocan, P-O-C-A-N.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Back with your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. and welcome back. And let's see here, Mary, watching Free Speech TV in Dayton, Ohio. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good afternoon. I'm wondering if there could be more sound bites that are small enough for people like me who stumble over the words net neutrality, because all these things are so important. It's exhausting trying to fight it all. So can you help us out and give us something that we can convey to our representatives?
Yeah, Mary, you know, that's a really good point. So often we talk in acronyms and Washingtonese on things. And on this one, I don't know if I have an immediate answer for you, but what I'm going to do is make sure we figure that out, because we need to. But, you know, the bottom line is what they're doing is they're going to be taking our free and open internet and giving it to the telecommunication companies to make more profit and take it away from the public good.
I think that's the magic phrase.
They do this tomorrow.
I think that's the magic phrase, free and open. It's sort of like,
yeah,
you know, fair and balanced, but it hasn't been, its meaning has not been twisted into a cruel joke. You know, it is a fair and open internet right now, at least in the United States, and they want to turn it into the, you know, into the corporate version of the great Chinese firewall.
Yeah, and you know, both you and I, Tom, are small business owners, and I rely on the internet for a lot of how I do business. And yet, you know, Amazon has become such a tremendous force. You know that immediately they're going to have ways that Amazon will again have even more power in being able to how they advertise products. And because they're in so many areas, they compete with so many local businesses. You're going to continue to see consolidation in these a few big companies. And you're going to see fewer and fewer local companies being able to have access to the internet, which right now in some of the rural parts of my district, you can at least still have a business. You've lost so much manufacturing, but you still have a job because you can do that small business over the internet around the country. You lose that access, and you're really going to hurt rural communities, I think, even more than urban communities.
Would it be fair? We have just about a minute to the break here, and not enough time to get another caller in. Would it be fair to argue that what's really going on is that the internet is being turned over to very, very, very large corporations, and that Facebook, Twitter, Netflix, these large ubiquitous corporations that have multi-billion-dollar war chests will be able to do whatever they damn well please on the internet, and everybody else is going to find all kinds of barriers to entry, just like in other industries, you know, whether it's pharmaceuticals or agriculture, fill in the blanks. They've actually gamed the regulations in many cases to create barriers to entry into the industry.
And you know, and you're right, and we're finally realizing that antitrust is an issue in this country, and we're finally starting to talk about it, monopolies, and this is going to just make it even worse, just in more and different industries.
Yeah, and that's become, you know, reinforcing the antitrust laws, the Sherman Act, and its, I think, seven antecedents. That's become part of the Democratic Party's official platform, has it not? Or it certainly was during the last campaign.
It's part of the Better Deal plan that came out of what Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi were working on for a Democratic economic message this year. Mm-hmm. And I was very happy to see that. Yeah, I'm one of the founders of our Monopoly Caucus to really try to get this issue out there more and more. What we're seeing, you know, again, as a small business owner, I've seen it, I think, in ways that not where traditional consumers and Democrats are even seeing it. And we need to make sure that everyone understands that slippery slope and what that means to their pocketbooks in a time of having wages also stagnant.
Amen. Congressman Mark Pocan on the line taking your calls. And York in Portland, Oregon, listening on X-Ray FM. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you. Hi, Tom. Hi, Congressman. I had a question with respect to the GOP tax heist and the forthcoming cuts to social services that it's going to entail. What options and what are our possibilities in the future for reversing any or all of the provisions? And what are the likelihood of those things actually working, given that we've just given another $1.5 trillion to these already very powerful interest groups and taken it away from the rest of us?
Sure, York, great questions. And let me just say one sort of correction. it's even where they're paying for some things, that's $1.5 trillion, at least under the House plan, added to the deficit. It's giving away more than that in tax breaks. I think it's 5 or 6.
Yeah.
I believe is the actual.
It's over five at the end of a decade, isn't it? Over $5
yeah.
trillion dollars will have been transferred from working people to the top 1%.
Exactly. The rest is just the amount that they're adding to the deficit that they don't have any plan for. Now, supposedly, I just saw they have a principle in agreement. They have principles. They're still working out how to pay for it, they're saying. I still think they're going to leave that giant hole in the deficit. And we've been afraid, of course, that means, and we saw Marco Rubio and others say it's going to be Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. The good news, one of the really important things, Tom, about Doug Jones winning last night is now they have less of a margin for error to do these things next year. So when Doug Jones is sworn in, all we need then is one or two Republicans to not go along with their agenda, whether they're afraid for their own hides because of their election or because they actually have a bit of a conscience left, and then we can stop them from doing some of those things. So that election was really important for many reasons last night. The other thing that York asked was, can we change this? And I think yes. If Democrats take over the House and the Senate, and it'll probably take us having to get to take over the White House as well, but we can absolutely do that. And looking at the economic messages out of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi right now, out of our leadership, I think there's a real commitment to do the right thing.
Yeah. Brian in Spokane, Washington, listening on KYRS. You are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Good morning. Can you hear me there?
Good morning, Brian. We can both hear you just fine.
All right. Congressman, I was able to talk to you here this summer, and I'd asked you if you were aware of who had requested the special meeting before your first day of business for the new Congress in January, the special meeting to do away with the House Ethics Morals Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever cross paths with any information on that?
Well, I'm not sure if I fully understand. They took that up on their conference the night before we were sworn in. That
right.
was one of the rule changes that they were going to, they agreed to, they voted on raising, and then when everyone got upset over the next 24 hours, they decided not to put it on the floor.
And when you say they, do you have a name for they?
Republican leadership decided that they were going to get in too much trouble for putting that rule out there, so they didn't put it on the floor. The only way something gets on the floor of Congress is if Paul Ryan says so. That's the 99.99% way. There is a discharge petition process that's very rarely used. That's the other way. So basically, it was Republican leadership realized that even though they voted, I think, 2-1 the night before to gut the ethics rules, they realized it was too embarrassing for them to move ahead and do that.
Al in Austin, Texas. Hey, Al, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Gentlemen, congratulations on our win yesterday and hopefully many more to come next year. I
Agreed.
Have a question regarding Mulvaney and the freeze on several billion dollars with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Can you elaborate on what that multi-billion dollar freeze is, what that money was for?
You know, I honestly, Al, I couldn't tell you specifically what's for. I think it's just the general operations of their department. So this is that fight where, you know, in the law as passed, the decision was not coming from the president to pick a new person. That's why they put a new person in place when Cordray left. But then President Trump is essentially trying to exert more power than he has by when he put Mulvaney there. And there's going to be lawsuits and other things that'll slow down that process. But, you know, the Republicans have been hell-bent on getting rid of that agency. It's done so much good already for consumers in protecting them and saving them money. They just want to go back to the bad old days of how Wall Street operated, and they're going to try to do it in any way possible, regardless of how legal or illegal their power grab is. So it's going to be something that we're going to have to wait and see how the legal side of this continues to proceed. But this is their attempt to try to end that agency's work on behalf of consumers.
Yeah. Congressman, we have just, 30 seconds to the break. Do you expect that, if Democrats were doing this kind of stuff, there would be calls for prosecution by Republicans? Is there, or at least investigations. I mean, is there any effort to look into what Pruitt and Mulvaney and Zinke are doing, the kind of damage they're doing to our country, particularly Mulvaney?
Yeah, I think just in general, I mean, Democrats need to start taking off the gloves. I think when we do some things, too often we're busy debating with ourselves among things, and we always want to do the right thing because that's what we should do, but we don't do it in as aggressive a way as the Republicans do. So there's ways to do things properly but more aggressively, and I think Democrats have to learn how to do that better.
Yeah, I totally agree. Congressman Mark Pocan, taking your calls for the hour. It's Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan after this. It's going to be a fascinating day. Tom Perez, from the head of the DNC, is going to be with us at the top of the next hour as well. So, and Craig Aaron from Free Press in our third hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Congressman Pocan's website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep, R-E-P, Mark, M-A-R-K, Pocan, P-O-C-A-N. Rep Mark Pocan. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. It's our Middays with Mark Hour. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls. And Congressman, you're still with us?
I am.
Great. Al in Chicago, listening on WCPT. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Congressman Pocan, I'm a retired Teamster in Chicago, and I want to thank you for co-sponsoring the Butch Lewis Act. We're hoping to get it on the omnibus spending bill, and if you could update Tom, it's all about the multi-employer pension funds. We're trying to save them, and again, I want to say thank you, and what do we have to do to get it on the spending bill?
Thanks. This is an issue that on multiple levels, it's more than just the multi-employer pensions. It's pensions in general. I think we're hitting a crisis in this country, and we've got to pay more attention to it. Specifically, I know there's hopes that this can be added on to the continuing resolution, but not the continuing resolution, I think, in December. I'm thinking it's probably more likely the one in January, from what I understand, because I have not been back to Washington as I'm going through my cardiac therapy from having a triple bypass. What I understand is, the December one, because of the infighting between the defense hawks and the Tea Party and others within the Republican Party, they're having a very difficult time. The defense hawks want to fully fund the defense spending for the year and then just keep government open for a few weeks. That is something the Senate Democrats won't accept because then they have no leverage for all the other spending that has to happen that's government's responsibility to do. So my guess is whatever happens in December, especially with all the time lost on their tax bill, will probably just be another punt for a few weeks into January, and then the January one could be the real one, again, unless these Republicans are continuing to prove that they're a bunch of clowns in a Shriner car and still don't know what they're doing. I wouldn't bet that that's not going to happen. So if it gets added on, that's the place, I think, most likely. But I think we need to keep the issue of pensions and retirement in general and the crisis that is facing this country, that has to be an issue we start talking about more.
Yeah. Kevin in Santa Fe, listening on KTRC. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you, Congressman Pocan, for taking our call and also for being available to us here. I was going to ask if you had any good news on Puerto Rico, maybe something like the USS Comfort serving lots of people with dialysis or something good, and what you're seeing there in Congress, because the news media isn't reporting much on it. It doesn't sell papers.
Yeah, no, there has been a lot less talked about, and I think, while there are a lot of improvements that are happening within Puerto Rico, we still have a big, big issue, especially around their power structure, because they have a very old system, and to actually bring it up to date to what it needs to be, it's very, very costly. And clearly what we've seen from this administration and the Republicans in Congress, they don't want to put money into it, even though this is an American territory. So we need to be continuing to talk about Puerto Rico so people realize, because if you don't have consistent energy infrastructure, there's still rolling blackouts, and there's still issues in many areas, and that's going to affect everything from healthcare to people who are living there to everything else. So we have to keep talking about it so people realize, but realize the big fight, I think, will be around the funding to replace the energy infrastructure, and I don't think we're close to having that answer.
Lawrence in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hey, Tom, Congressman.
Hey, Lawrence.
I just wanted to try a little thought experiment concerning the tax reform bill. If we had a constitutional amendment passed that barred all private political contributions to campaigns, strictly all political campaigns from dog catcher to president had to be publicly financed from a pool of funds. Would this so-called tax reform bill have even been introduced?
You know, Lawrence, I think the point you're bringing up is an extremely important one. I was the author of 100% public financing of campaigns when I was in the state legislature here in Wisconsin. There is no question you wouldn't have a tax bill looking like it looks like if it wasn't for the funding of campaigns. You've had several Republicans be maybe too blunt and honest, and they regret what they've said, but they've said they have to do this or the donors won't give to them anymore. And this is for the Sheldon Adelsons and the Koch brothers and all the other uber-wealthy folks that fund the Republican Party. They have to get this done. Otherwise, why would you do something that's counter to all of your constituents but 1% or 2%? You wouldn't pass a bill like that, and yet that's exactly what they're doing. So the sole reason that they're doing this is because they have to keep their donors happy to keep themselves in power to do what they're doing. And then the second, of course, part of this is then they're going to go after all those programs that we've paid into all of our life, like Social Security and Medicare, and that's how somehow we're going to fix the hole they're putting into the deficit. So you're right on, Lawrence, on what you're saying. As this is all done because of our campaign finance system. And the problem is we have a hard time making that a number one or even number two issue for people to really keep focused on at election time.
Yeah. Tony, in Huntsville, Alabama, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
How you doing, Tom?
Good. You're on with Congressman
Pocan. How you doing, Congressman?
Hey, very good, Tony.
Hey, look, man, I'm so proud of Alabama and Huntsville. You know, when you looked at the map, we were the only blue section. Madison County, you know, turned it all blue. It's beautiful. I was wondering, now that we've proven that we can flip a ruby red state, I was wondering what the plans were for the gentleman that's going against Paul Ryan. Is the Democrats really taking that serious and really putting money behind him? Because if we can flip Alabama, we can flip anything.
Yeah, the Democratic primary hasn't been finished in Wisconsin, has it yet, Congressman?
No, but I'll be very blunt. I mean, practical purposes, it is. I mean, Randy Bryce is running an extraordinary campaign. I don't think I've ever seen a campaign lift off with this much power and this much strength and this much potential to beat the sitting incumbent. So I think many of us are focused on Randy Bryce. There is at least one other person in a primary, but it's like night and day. Let's just put it that way. Tony, I just retweeted something this morning where someone put this very statement out. If we can win in Alabama, certainly Randy Bryce can beat Paul Ryan. And I think what you're saying is exactly true. I see the DCCC is taking this very, very seriously. They put it at the top of their target lists that they have. So, yes, the so-called Democratic establishment is taking this race seriously. But more important, people in Wisconsin, in the district, are taking it seriously. And I'm going to go back in and do some work in January. I was talking to the campaign just yesterday. This is a top priority for me because I grew up in that area. 14,000 people used to make cars in Kenosha. No one does today. 10,000 in Janesville. No one does today. I guarantee people are going to connect more with someone like Randy Bryce and his background as an iron worker than someone who's completely gone Washington and sells out for every special interest and every donor like Paul Ryan. So there is a real chance to do this, and it's a very serious race with everyone giving it top attention.
Okay. Charles, in Hendersonville, Tennessee, listening on AM 950, you are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Yes, good morning, Congressman. I was just wondering, why don't the Democratic Party kind of educate the American people about what's coming up with this net neutrality thing? I mean, the internet providers can disable ports and start charging you for services like email and stuff like that. And this Republican tax reform, it's nothing more than a giveaway to the corporations. And eventually, it's going to come back and bite us with higher taxes, the people that are, what few will be left in the middle class. And it just seems like the Democratic Party just does not want to educate the American people about what's going to happen when all these things come to pass.
Yeah, Charles, I agree that it should happen, and where I disagree with you a little bit is I think it is happening. Our problem is the corporate media doesn't pick it up. If you look at social media, I can't tell you how many. I was looking through my stream yesterday, and we've put out more statements with a bunch of other members around net neutrality, exactly doing what you've asked. And we're getting it out that way, but we can't get it out necessarily through the corporate media because they're not covering certain issues, especially around net neutrality. I think their coverage has been abysmal. Wow. So I just want you to know that many, many Democrats are talking about what's going to happen when this tax bill happens and what's going to happen if they make this change and allow them to have corporate control over the Internet. The problem is we're not always getting it picked up by the corporate media, and that's been my frustration. Tom, we probably have this conversation every other week on your radio show, but I just want you to know, Charles, I do see it happening. It's just it's hard to get that coverage so that we get that mass media out. So we're doing, you know, more the alternative social media and other ways to get it out.
I would argue that the reason why the message is not being carried in corporate media is because corporate media is owned by corporations who are internet service providers or have interlocking boards with them. And it seems like the solution to that is to reinforce the Sherman Act. We mentioned this earlier in the program. We just have 20 seconds here to the break. Do you see any action in Congress to start breaking up these big companies?
I do, because as we said, the new Better Deal proposal that's put out by the Democrats, one of their key principles is around antitrust. And I was shocked to see that, Tom. I mean, I'm very happy, but I didn't think we were there yet as a party, and we are. They're seeing it and how it affects consumers across the board. So I actually think this is one of our areas to be optimistic about should the Democrats take over.
That's great news. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. It's our Middays with Mark Hour here on the Tom Hartman Program. Congressman Pocan representing the 2nd District of Wisconsin. He's also the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, one of the real progressive big cheeses in the House of Representatives. We're pleased to have him on the program. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan, his website, pocan.house.gov. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit tomhartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. And welcome back. David, watching Free Speech TV in Boonville, New York. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan. David? David! Okay, let's try Tom in Winfield, Alabama, watching Free Speech TV. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hey guys. Hi, Congressman. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Sweet, man. I can't believe I made it on the air. You know, you have no idea how many times I've tried calling you. You have such great information and so many important issues that you bring up. But now I'm talking about that victory in Alabama. Meanwhile, I've been supporting Jones and helping out with the campaign and signed petitions and went to a couple rallies and did these phone banking and the ride share, coordinating mm-hmm. people.
That's great.
Rides to get to their polling station.
Good on you, Tom. What's your question for the congressman?
So my question is, what do you think, Congressman, is possibly going to happen with this recount that this dude Moore may ask to have done?
Sure, Tom. First of all, let me just say congratulations. And what you all did in that activism that got that high vote turnout is how we win elections. I was just sitting down with a local reporter this morning talking about my county, Dane County, which Madison, Wisconsin, is part of. We have 80% turnout in some wards because we've really got this down. And because of it, we're able to give a Democrat running statewide a 100,000 to 150,000 vote boost coming out of our county because of the activism we're doing. So the fact that you're showing when you can win in Alabama, we can do this across the country if we get people active. So I just want to say thank you. Specifically, I think, you know, the recall was more Roy Moore's just kind of classless way of not conceding when he should concede, because I think the end result was about a point and a half. It has to be less than a half a percentage point to have a free one. They may even pay for one, I wouldn't doubt, if they think it stalls the process, because they're going to try to make sure that Doug Jones is not appointed until January. So I'm not too concerned given the amount of votes that are there. I know Roy Moore tried to claim military ballots and other things, but I think that was more just in his defiance last night. He didn't want to accept reality.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly seems that way. Let's see, we have 50 seconds. Yeah, not enough time to bring a caller in. Did you want to enlarge on that?
Well, you know what I'd enlarge on is just, you know, I really do think what we see is when we give people a reason to get out, you know, either whether it be a good candidate, the right issues, and we really show people how to do that people-to-people contact. It's not about spending a ton of money on TV so that some consultant's going to make 15% on the side of that. It's about putting money into field and getting people out, talking to voters one-on-one and having those conversations from their neighbors and peers is how we win elections. And I hope that we take that lesson to everything we do in 2018.
Yeah, but the other reality is that we're not always going to be facing, you know, a Roy Moore kind of candidate. I mean, he was so badly flawed.
But we can still show the activism. I mean, here, no matter what race it is, we have people who are knocking on doors, getting people out. And like I said, before, because of it, 80% turnout. We get in wards on a pretty regular basis here in Madison specifically. We've got to do that everywhere.
Yeah, amen. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls for the Congressman right after this. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, and it is our Middays with Mark. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls. And Wally in Edwards, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
You're on the air with Congressman.
Thank you for being there.
Sure.
I got a question for you. With all these people in Puerto Rico with no electricity, is there any way that people like me that have a generator could donate it and send it to them?
You know, Wally, I honestly don't know the answer to that. You might want to do a Google search. I know a lot of people were sending generators down there, and there's probably some organizations that are doing that. And that would certainly be helpful because there are still rolling blackout periods, and it's going to take quite a bit of money to put in the infrastructure they actually need and that we have to, I think, be responsible for.
Jules in Northern Virginia, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, hello, Congressman Pocan and Tom Hartman. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering if net neutrality goes through, is there any way that that can be undone through whatever legislative process? I'll hang up and take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, Jules, so I know that there are several bills, and I think there's going to be actually a lot of bills to address this. I saw that Beto O'Rourke, who's actually running for the U.S. Senate against Ted Cruz down in Texas, he has some legislation. I believe Sean Patrick Maloney from New York has some legislation. So there's already a lot of things moving and ready for this. Because trust me, it's not like Wisconsin is unique where I've got 4,500 people saying don't make the changes that they're about to make and no one supporting what they're doing. I think we're seeing this across the country. People, you know, there is no constituency asking for this other than the big telecom companies. So I think that that is a real opportunity either to have legislation introduced and that, you know, we'll try to build bipartisan support. But again, if they won't do it, then we'll see what changes we can make in 2018. But I do think there's a big commitment to make this happen, especially on the Democratic side.
JC in San Francisco, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good morning, Congressman. I have a suggestion per your comment earlier about taking the gloves off. And it's a simple suggestion, and it's nothing novel or new. But I would encourage the Democrats to put out two Congress people, one male, one female, every day of work at the Capitol and discuss, you know, set a time, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever, set a time and do that every day and discuss what the issues that you've been working on that day and what's coming up and what your hopes are. And do this regularly, because there's doesn't seem, you know, you were saying that the corporate media doesn't pick up the information you're trying to get out. But if you did this every day and you start to bite into some of the news cycle that Trump so masterfully manages, that we would have a unifying message. And use the people that haven't been there as long, so they can get themselves familiarized with the country and their constituents, right. And do that every day.
Okay,
and,
let's hear what the congressman has to say, JC. Let's hear what Congressman Pocan has to say. Aren't you guys holding press conferences? You know, I mean, I get announcements pretty much every day from various members, Democratic members of Congress, saying that they're holding events and things. It's just that they never, the press never shows up, it seems.
But, you know, I think what, to JC's point, Tom, I think, you know, we can be far more aggressive in how we still reach and get our information out. Mm. You know, I do regular Facebook live town halls where people can just ask open-ended questions and we can put information out. Those are extremely popular. I've argued, and I've been one of the leaders of the Adopt a District movement, where we go into Republican districts and let people know what their representatives are up to. That's kind of taken the gloves off. It's not usually done, but you know what? It's so appreciated, and the local media covers it, because here you are, a member of Congress going into another district, but we can have a real conversation and make people have to be accountable. We need to do more of that, and I think if we do that, we can kind of get around that corporate media and pick up the local media and the social media and let people know what their representatives aren't doing for them on their behalf. So I think, you know, JC is right. We just have to be more creative and think outside the box and be willing, again, to take those gloves off.
Brenda in Cooper's Cove, Texas. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Oh, it's Brenda from Copperas Cove, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I have a question. I don't know what legal ease this would be, but how is this corrupt tax bill not donors blackmailing congressmen to do that? And just how is it not more corporate welfare?
Or bribing.
I'll take your answer off the air, but please, all listeners, donate.
Thank you, Brenda.
Brenda, I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, Chris Collins from New York was one of the more blunt people, said, we've got to do this or our donors told us they're going to cut us off. We've had other Republicans in the Senate, I think Lindsey Graham and I forget another member, who've basically said the exact same thing. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to look. Why would you do a corporate, a complete change of the tax code that doesn't benefit your constituents, which is what your job is? And instead, they're just enriching the top 1% and 2%. It's because that's where their money comes from, and that's how they get elected. Look, we have the people and the ideas. They generally have had the money, and they've been pretty successful just using that, even though we've had the people and the ideas. I think we're at a good turning point right now, thanks to their overreach, that people are starting to understand that we have... They have to be backing more Democrats if they want to watch out for themselves and their pocketbooks. And this tax plan is just, I think, one of the best, most visual ways of what they're really up to.
Yeah, and it's not just a giant tax cut for billionaires and a tax increase on working people. It's also social engineering.
Well, and 13 million people are going to lose health insurance.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's...
You know, I think that's one of the things that we should really be stressing even more. Once they have this final plan, we need to make sure everyone understands what's happening to them on behalf of the Republicans.
Amen. Congressman Pocan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Of course, Tom. Thank you.
It's great having you with us. This was our Middays with Mark Hour. You can contact Congressman Pocan at pocan.house.gov. And you can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.